There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living, the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. My name is John Katzlamitis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, and on LasVegasSun.com and LasVegasWeekly.com. Joining me, as always, is the beautiful Patricia McCrone. Dishy, how are you?
Wow. I haven't heard Patricia McCrone since the school principal used to call me to the office. Over the
time to pound a race.
Patty McCrone to the office, please. Patty McCrone.
I've been
to the
using
office.
It more lately.
I know you're becoming very kind of an alias. Official. It's because we're sexually active. Sorry, I keep going back to last week's show with one another. Yeah. still love that. If you missed that, listen to last week's show. You'll understand. So It's December and it's chilly and it's snuggly weather.
Outside.
I'm so happy.
It's Idaho weather. Ohio weather too.
Right. Idaho, yeah. Utah.
For my friends in Pocatello and Boise, they never hear that one enough.
I know.
And there's the requisite Spuds joke and
exactly.
Yeah, Spectator and all that. Yeah.
So we've been, we already talked about Thanksgiving.
Last week.
But what we did not talk about is the fact that I spent 2 days at the happiest place on earth.
Yes. And that is Disney World.
Disney
World is the happiest place on earth, and Disneyland is the happiest place in Anaheim. Is
exactly.
that how that works?
Well, see, Disney World is much bigger although we are fierce people, because we had a guide we were with my incredible brother-in-law. And so they don't want people stopping taking autographs. So we actually have a guide. So we go in the back entrances, which...
Ooh.
Wayne Newton has ruined amusement parks for me as long as I live. We did 4 parks, all the rides we wanted to, in one day.
Wow.
And then went back and repeated everything the next day.
Holy
that we wanted
cow.
To repeat.
Like, what was
I'm talking
what was
like
the best
water
ride.
I love Tower of Terror at the Hollywood Studios. I think we kept going, we want to go again. And that was like, I think we went on that about 8 times. But what was very, very funny is that we have my niece, my sister, my mother and Wayne and myself were there. Well, the 4 of us decide that we want to go on a water ride.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just hysterical, you know, and it's very, people were very nice. Like one lady was like, oh, I know you. I know that smile. Because, you know, he's got a baseball hat and sunglasses on and stuff like that. They're like, I know that smile anywhere. Is that you? It was very, very cute. So anyway, so we're on the thing and it kind of spins. And then it just so happens that as you see it, when there's only one spot where only 3 chairs out of like 10 will get drenched. And the first time it was the people next to me. So I got a little bit. But then the second time we knew it was coming. And so we're like, oh, my gosh, it's going to be us. And it was, I swear, you would not see 4 people get more giddy than to be able to anticipate the fact that an entire wave of water is going to smack down on the people in front of us. And they have no clue. So that was actually a highlight. That was fun. And I have to give props to Tom, our guide at Disney theme parks, one of the cast members. He was just incredible and so much fun. And he's like, you people are crazy. Usually people want to take breaks and eat. You people are like, no, next ride. And they've actually changed the Haunted Mansion. Like the ghosts actually move around and they make your head switch. You know how at the end the ghost rides with you? I mean, everyone knows this. Well, the head switched and... It was crazy. They have this ride called Soaring, which I think is done with American Airlines. No, maybe not. I don't know what it is, but it is one of the coolest rides. So if you go, it's at Epcot. Go to On Soaring. And what else? I think that's about it, except for the Tom did mess up once. I told him I got motion sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on, he said, Star Tours is a Star Wars thing.
Yeah, at Epcot. Yeah.
And I said, now, is this something like a throw-up thing? Because, you know, I'm very, very queasy. And, it was a simulator, and within 5 minutes, I was white. Within 5 seconds, I was white. I was profusely sweating, and it kind of ruined me for a couple of hours after that.
Did you lose it?
I thought it was going to, but luckily we hadn't eaten yet, so
I
was good. But I was white. Like, I'm talking like hot towels. Like, I'm so motion sick that on a helicopter ride one time they had to use smelling salts on me.
Oh my
But other than that, it was the people at Disney. It's such a world class operation there.
Yeah, it's very precise.
People that work there are beautiful. Like, I mean, and Tom was a great host. I mean, he's one of those people that I noticed if we were walking down the walkway and there was a napkin on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, first thing bends down, picks it up. Like, they're really well organized and well trained, and mm-hmm. it was a nice thing to see because we got some ideas, of course, for the museum.
Oh, I'll bet, yeah.
Yeah, so
taking notes all the way
Shenandoah Museum. So it was a
big Ferris wheel out there then.
Oh yeah, exactly.
The only I don't see any problem with that.
There would be a joke about the simulated ride in my house, but that's okay. I'm kidding.
That's not part of the tour, though.
It's not part of the tour. Maybe
yet.
A VIP.
Although, we'd get some email after that one, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
I hold the only VIP card, as
it
turns out.
According to our fans. So we did host an incredible event.
Nevada Hotel and Resort Association Stars of the Industry event. We were invited and honored to do it over at the Rio. This was an event that recognizes and awards the people who make the city's resort industry run. You know, all the service industry, the valets, the bellmen and bellwomen, and people who manage them, and all the way up to Gary Loveman of Caesars Entertainment, the head of that operation. He took an award also. So it ran the gamut.
Yes, and our Lieutenant Governor Krolicki.
Lieutenant Governor Brian Krolicki. At some point in that event, it seemed like somebody tried to promote him to governor in their acceptance speech, but he is the lieutenant governor. Yes. Or as I like to say, we should make up his mind. Is he a lieutenant or is he a governor? Make up your mind.
It was an honor to do that.
And we got
to spend time. The musical act was our former guest and incredible talent, Rick Fagno. And we got to meet his lovely wife, Joyce.
Joyce, yeah, just off Broadway from
Anything Goes.
Yeah, just moved back out, and it was great. He had a great time. He did a lot of work. He was up there for about a half hour total.
Two sets, which I've never seen that actually happen at a corporate thing.
Yeah, they brought him out twice, which was great because you can't just have us.
Well, you know, for a long time, it was just us. And let me say, there's a lot of names that we should never be asked to pronounce.
Yeah, well, my own, starting with
I have yours down pat after 13 years of friendship.
It takes a while, but I'm sensitive to the surname thing anyway. And I know, that was the first question I asked when they asked if we needed anything. I said, we need pronunciation. A pronunciation guide for these names, because this is an international industry.
I had I found that I mispronounced hotelier.
I had that wrong too.
Yeah,
I think I gave you Rod
hotelier. Wrong. I think I said, and it's hotelier. So I'm sure I sounded like an idiot, but I'm not sure that many people were listening.
I knew we were wrong about it when Loveman made
yes, said hotelier.
Hotelier.
I'm like, okay,
oh,
well
man.
That's why
okay,
you have
shot.
The big job and I don't. But we do have to give props to somebody who was, those kind of events, they're kind of hard because it's a very corporate crowd. They're just, kind of there to see if they got their award. And we're up there, doing our shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one person who was extremely, extremely supportive and just kept laughing and clapping. And that is the president of a lot of the Harrah's hotels.
Rick Mazur,
if you're listening, which I'm sure he is, sweet. He kept clapping, and he can also the man with Nevada Wine and Spirits. Like they were
Michael Severino, buddy of mine.
Yeah, they
I
were
kept
very.
Calling him
you know,
out. Yeah.
They were very. It's a tough. It's a very tough crowd, and as Rick could tell you too. I mean, it's not your normal. They aren't there to see us.
No. That's
so
true.
You kind of have to win them over a little bit. And so it was but it was very sweet to be able to look down and see two very smiling, happy faces. And I appreciated it.
Yeah, exactly. I had a really good time. We've been asked to do, gratefully, we've been asked to do a lot of these, or more and more of these sorts of events as our show moves along. And it will be a year in February.
I know. What it's are we going to do for our big anniversary? Get married?
I think that somebody, one of our emailers has made a suggestion.
Essay, baby, essay.
I know.
So now what did you do with the rest of your weekend?
Well, I've got the rodeo. We've got the rodeo coming into
town.
Yeah, the rodeo.
I've
been writing
about
the rodeo.
Yeah, it's here, actually,
it's,
by the time
it's
this
here,
airs.
It's
tomorrow,
the second night. Yeah, tonight. And so I'm always in a cowboy hat and Justin boots or Tony Lamas, depending on the event.
Are you going to have Wrangler butt?
I have Wrangler butt. I've got four pair of Wrangler I'm going to bust out. I've got a Wrangler issued jacket, a resist all hat. And a big belt with not an official belt buckle, but a Western belt. And I wear that when I go to cover the rodeo. So that's in town. Michael Jackson's World Tour at Mandalay Bay Event Center, which is the arena version of the show that will become the resident show at Mandalay Bay in 2013. So I've been working on a lot of stuff in advance of both of these events, crashing into each other Las Vegas is the only place in the world where this kind of thing happens. The rodeo for 10 days and Michael Jackson for 3 weeks.
Well, let me tell you. This that last year, being your closest confidant, that I felt a little bit like a rodeo widow. Are you going to disappear again?
Not yeah. Last year I did a project called Cats Goes Cowboy, and I was embedded in the rodeo, and I wrote 36 blogs. I think it was 30, at least, it was 30-something. 36, I think, was the number of columns in 10 days, and I had something like an unbelievable number of tweets. I mean, I think it was in 300-something Twitter updates about the rodeo. I was in the rodeo. I was part of the rodeo. I was immersed in the rodeo. I met Charlie Daniels. That tells you enough. We had a picture taken. Met Charlie Daniels. That's how immersed I was. I spent a night with the bareback riders. I spent an evening with. That's your line.
That's what he said.
I spent a night of competition with those guys and the trainers, the medical team, the announcers. I went to an event at Gold Coast, at Mirage, at Aria. Even at Monte Carlo, South Point, a big one, you know, the Cowboy Christmas event is incredible. And it takes over this city and they bring a lot of money and a lot of energy and a lot of Wild West flavor. And it looks like, as I've written, it's going to be re-signing a contract that will take it through its current contract, which ends in 2014. They love us. We love them. And for 10 days, we become them. And here we go. Yeehaw.
I should pick up a cowboy this week.
There'll be enough of them around. I'll be dressed as a cowboy. There you go.
Oh, well, there you go.
Or you can pick up any other member of the village people, the American Indian, the military guy, the
construction
cop,
worker.
The construction worker. All in play.
Wow, all in play.
Let's get to our guests. I'm always in a better mood after host chat. Joining us this week.
Oh, wow. That was one of those obnoxious laughs my sister talks about.
Joining us this week are two gentlemen who play Frankie Valli.
Love them. Production
show Jersey Boys at the Palazzo. That's Travis Clower and Graham Fenton. They'll be joining us first. Followed by Christina Vitaliano, the founder of Kiss by Monster Mini Golf, which is going to be joining our lineup of attractions in mid-February across the street from the Hard Rock Hotel on Harmon Road.
Wait, make sure to check out the pictures of us wearing the Kiss boots on at Cats with a Dish on Twitter.
Yeah, we'll be both wearing Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley boots, so stick around. I know we will. Viva,
viva Las Vegas. This is Michael Grimm, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Yeah! Welcome back. Our first guests. Star in one of the city's top production shows, Jersey Boys, the story of the four seasons at the Palazzo right here in fabulous Las Vegas. That's all factual, right?
Yeah,
that's
very great. Right. Good.
Thanks. I just want to make sure I don't get accosted.
No.
The show is staged nightly, dark Mondays, with two shows on Saturdays and
Tuesdays.
And they swap the lead role of Frankie Valli, Travis Clore, and Graham Fenton. Welcome to Cats with the Dish.
Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Thanks.
Let me start with, let me ask you, first of all, the biggest news that has come up lately is the change in theaters.
Yes.
For you guys. You're going to be going from from Palazzo over to Paris, Las Vegas, mm-hmm. closing, going dark mm-hmm. on January 1st.
January 1st is our last performance.
Reopening at Paris in March?
They're aiming for an early spring. I don't think there's a definite date yet.
TBD right now.
But. All
right.
So there will be no Jersey Boys for months.
What are you going to do?
Exactly.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to get a social life, I guess.
Just going to have to play the cast album in your car.
There you go.
Just
well, you know, I unfortunately I have just been singing the cast album to myself without the benefit of the CD. So therefore, I think people will be ready.
Does that ever happen with you guys? You ever get a song stuck in your head from the show and you start, you know?
It happened a lot when we first started rehearsing.
Oh yeah,
you know, you're going the music over and over and over, and you go to bed at night and it's just swimming in your head, and you're like, nah,
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, not so much anymore, but definitely in the first year probably that I was involved with the show. You can't get the songs out of your head.
You both have been involved in it for a while.
Yeah.
How long for you, Trev?
I started with the Broadway company about almost 5 years ago. It'll be 5 years in February.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now you started on Broadway and then came out here.
I did, yeah. We both actually started with the Broadway company.
Yeah, you've been Graham for quite a while,
about
too, right?
4 years, yeah, not continuously.
Well, you were eight. I swear to God.
Both these guys.
I know, like, it's ridiculous. Okay, on stage, you guys, you know, do look different than when you go and we, you know, see you in person afterwards. Yeah. Like, I mean, I have to say the other night, I saw you, Graham, in the mm-hmm. show. Just a few, we went to see the show a few nights ago, and I hadn't seen you perform the show yet, so we went to go see it. And I have to say that I was like, wow. I'm like, yeah. And you walked out, and if somebody wouldn't have told me that it was, you know, unless it would have been, oh, this is Graham. And I'm like, oh, this is who I'm interviewing in a couple days. You're from. I'm like, I could have given birth to you. You're like 12 years old. Like, it's the both of you.
Thank
like,
you for that.
How on that. Earth?
Hypothetically speaking.
The both of you, how on earth? Like, you guys get carded everywhere you go?
We're actors, so we can act young if we need to.
That's right.
Old if we need to. So.
But you look.
We get paid to do it. So.
Oh, well, without speaking, you look young. Exactly. Without speaking, you guys both look like you can't get into a bar on your own.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I'm batting about 50-50 right now, I'd say. One out of two
told
times.
After the show the other night, a story about a certain pizza restaurant in Las Vegas.
Yes, I did.
Tell us what happened there.
Oh,
you
well,
got thrown out. You got tased.
It was the, I believe it was game five of the National League Division Series. I'm a huge Phillies fan.
Phillies.
Had to go and catch the game.
They choked.
Yes, they did.
They could buy a pennant. They can't buy
a pennant. Anything less than a World Series championship this year was going to be a disappointment. Yeah. Mm. We're in that Yankees league now.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah,
you
are
the National League Yankees. Anyway,
so I went to go, and the restaurant was packed. I won't say the name. I'll spare them. But there were a couple
spell
seats.
It. No, I'm kidding.
It can be abbreviated with three letters.
Really? Is one of them a C?
That would be P.
Maybe.
That would be, that would be PK with me. I mean, okay. Anyway. So you're at a restaurant.
So there were a couple of seats open at the bar, and my wife and I decided to go sit down there. There's a TV screen right there. Perfect. And as we're going to take our seats there, I said, oh, no, I left my ID at home. Oh, well, no big deal. I don't need a drink. I'll just go get a salad and mm-hmm. a glass of water, which is what I ordered. My wife ordered some kind of cocktail and brought it over and then carded her. She looks very young, too. And she gave her ID, and then he asked me for my ID. I said, oh, well, I just ordered a water and a salad. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not drinking or anything. He said, oh, well, you know, you're at the bar. We need ID. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have it. Actually, you know what? It was my 29th birthday. It was actually my birthday.
Wow.
It was on 2, October 6th.
And you couldn't even prove that, could you?
And I couldn't prove it. And I'm like, well, who would make that up? It's my 29th birthday. This is my wife. I mean, come on, guy. And so we got run out of there.
She was homecoming queen this year.
So we were run out of there. I could have been sitting at a table 5 feet from the bar, and I would have been fine.
You got to adhere to protocol, I guess.
The horrors of looking young.
You're right, I know.
I get that all the time. No, I'm kidding.
I was wondering if you guys would carry around a copy of the Playbill just in case something like this happens. Or you need to verify your identity.
Don't you know who I think I am?
Yeah. Right. You have to go to the DMV. It's like, I don't have...
So do you walk in and you're like, I love you. I can prove it.
And now performing at the A-OK Pizzeria is Graham Fenton.
A-OK, yeah, see, that's three letters.
I just renamed it.
Yeah.
Nobody will figure that out.
Now, I've always wondered this because I'm sure that when you sing, you're obviously both accomplished singers. When you sing normally, you don't sound like Frankie Valli, correct?
I think, no. I think to a degree, every guy that's played this role puts on Frankie's voice a little bit. But I also think that there's... The people that they hire for this role have a little bit of that timbre in their voice to begin with, mm-hmm. you know. But I guess I shouldn't speak for you. I put it on a little bit.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, so in other words, so you audition, you get the job, then do you go to like Frankie Valli camp or something like that? Like, I mean, did you work on the voice after you get the job, or do you work on it before you audition?
I worked on it a little bit before I auditioned. When I auditioned, they didn't have, you know, the whole grooming process that they have now with the guys that they sent to this camp.
I was part of it actually.
They call it Frankie Camp. Yeah,
where is this?
Oh my gosh, I was making that up. I didn't realize.
I didn't know this, really.
You should get coined for that.
They literally yeah. have it.
And where is Frankie Camp?
It was in New York. Yep. They rent out a studio and kind of get the people that they've brought to New York, which is already sort of the cream of the crop at that point, audition ready by, you know, coaching them on the songs and a little bit of choreography and scene work. And yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of a surreal experience. How many Frankies were there?
There were 10 when I was there. And
but
it's kind of weird to
walk
out of...
Did only you graduate?
Actually, a bunch of us did. A bunch of us graduated from Frankie Camp that year because they were casting the Las Vegas company at that point. So they needed a bunch of guys.
So they're like Frankie bullies who play on the other lesser Frankies.
Right, a teacher's pet.
We have t-shirts made, you know. Like
Frankie
hoods. Bonfires every night. Right.
Smoke out in a parking lot.
But we had been kind of hanging out together for the week that we were there, and we got a lot of weird looks with, you know, 10 short Italian dudes walking around.
It's all singing under street lamps.
Exactly. Singing ridiculously high, obnoxiously high. Yeah.
A gang.
A 10 guys, so where did they go? I mean, there aren't 10 positions.
They go crazy.
They hold on to names, you know, just in case positions open up when, if somebody is doing the role and they leave, you know, they have this bag of guys that they can pull from at a drop of a hat.
And now, are there's two of you just because of the fact of how demanding the vocals are.
On all the other companies, they have one main guy that does 6 shows a week and an alternate that does 2 shows a week. They did that here for a little while, for a few months, and Las Vegas being the voice killer on singers that it is, they found out quick that it would probably be the best idea just to split it 4 and 4, give all the guys a break that are doing it, a little bit more time to rest, a little bit more time to heal, you know, if things go wrong or whatnot.
Were you involved in the original production here, Travis? When did you come out?
I got here 4 months after they opened.
Who opened the main?
Rick Fonu was
Rick
here.
Rick was the first Ricky,
and,
Frankie.
Joe,
you were here for a little while.
I was a swing, actually, then. So I understudied a few guys. And the other Frankie here was Joseph Leobori, who's Frankie
Amatori. He was the one that this... So Rick did the 6 show, the main shows, and then someone else did 2 shows.
Right,
is that it?
Joe would do 2.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Did you go off when you left Vegas, Graham? Did you go off and do other?
From Vegas, I was hired to take the 2 show Frankie spot on the national tour. I did that for a year and a half, and then I left April of 2010. Then went off and did some other shows, but
graduated high school.
Graduated high school, indeed. Yep. And then they, unfortunately, Jersey Boys kept calling me back to kind of fill in and do gigs here and there. I did 4 months in Australia with the show, and I would do press events with them here and there. And
it's a great thing, you know, once you get in the family, and they keep you in mind. If you're out of the loop for a little while, if you're out of the show, and some of the things pop up, they do press stuff all the time, like Graham was saying, and there's a finite number of
entertainers who can perform this role.
Yeah, I was just about to say, because not only you have to have the look. Mm-hmm. And you have to have the vocal chops, which imagine that there's a lot of people out there that can handle.
There's not, man. This is like one of the hardest male vocal roles that has been around on Broadway in ages, you know. And they treat us well, you know. They know that this is a hard thing to do, and they respect that we do it, and you know, we do a good job for them every night.
So. I like that reference to family. It's like, I keep trying to get out, and they keep pulling me
back.
Is that really the case? I mean,
it is, because
it's a very specific.
I mean, Graham's been in and out of it for like he said, a little over 4 years now.
The Jersey Mafia,
Jersey Boys Mafia. I thought this about him. He looks a little mobbed up.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a made man.
On the playground, he was.
He's a made. Made kid.
That's right. The nephew of somebody who's scrappy.
Now, a little Pesci in here, right? From the show.
I was just going to say Joe Pesci in the show. But there. So now, did you just come back with Rick Fonio's departure, or did you come back a little bit before that?
I came back as part of Rick's departure,
Right.
Came here to take over for Rick.
I wanted to get back on the point about vocal challenges here in Las Vegas, especially for you, Travis. I know you were out for a while, weren't you?
I had a bit of a vocal injury. I was a couple of things of singing on top of being sick and singing on stress and singing in this climate that's, you know, like I said earlier, is a voice killer. I had hemorrhaged one of my vocal cords.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
That'll cause stress.
It will, especially when it happens right in the middle of a show like it did. And
so you're singing, what song were you singing?
So what'd you do?
I got done singing Walk Like a Man, and everything was great. Felt fantastic. And then went to sing the next song, which was My Eyes Adored You. And as soon as I opened my mouth, I knew something was wrong because it just didn't feel right. I had no range and no control over my voice.
Wow.
So I was out for a little over 3 weeks, which is Graham came in a little bit early to take over, fill my spot while I was out. And had some great vocal rest, was quiet for like 2 weeks, you know, didn't say a word for 2 weeks.
That must be really hard.
It was hard, you know, but, you know, with the help of, you know, the computer, I was walking around with my telephone
and some duct tape.
Texting to my wife that's sitting right next to me. But I had a great doctor and have been going through some voice therapy, and I've been back in the show about a month now, and it's stronger than ever. So
now, could you actually complete the show?
Yeah, I did that night. I told him, you know, to have the standby ready just in case, you know, I couldn't do it. And looking back in retrospect, I probably should have had them put the standby on
that's
as soon
like,
as I knew what
that's
was
like
wrong.
That's like an athlete playing with a torn knee ligament or something.
Yeah,
I mean, they
absolutely.
Can't you just doesn't that just make the injury worse?
It does. It absolutely does. And
wow.
That's why I said I probably should have, as soon as I knew something was wrong, I probably should have.
Now, let's say something would have like that did happen. And then how would they do that? All of a sudden, the next scene, somebody else comes out and people say, "Hey, Frankie."
Yeah,
like, I mean, how
they'd,
does that work?
They'd, yeah, sure.
They'd, of course, you know, probably pause the show, make sure everybody was set, the new guy was all ready to go, and then they'd make an announcement over the
okay,
speaker.
So they would
that
just,
would be made
you
known.
Wouldn't just
they wouldn't try and do it seamlessly.
No.
Because I used to do
did I block
theater,
out?
And it was like, you know, if something goes wrong, you just keep going.
Yeah,
like,
no,
I
they'd
fell off a stage once in Hello, Dolly, and I just had to, I meant to do that type
they
of
would,
thing.
They would definitely make that announcement.
I did too, but I was just a spectator.
There's a funny story from the tour, actually, once, though, where they didn't make the announcement. I think it because it was a smaller ensemble role, something happened with the guy playing Joe Pesci, and they had two Joe Pesci understudies. One was already on stage, and the other guy was kind of like, they called him the oh-no Joe Pesci. Like, he was just looked way too big. Would never go on for Joe Pesci unless it was an emergency. Well, anyway, he had to go on mid-show, and the guy playing Tommy was out on stage getting ready for their first scene. Joe Pesci comes running out, "Hey, Tommy," and it was the oh-no Joe Pesci.
Right,
it was like Pesci-Zilla. Like, huge.
He looks down and he's looking in.
There's
his
no way that you could possibly confuse. So they keep saying,
right.
"Oh, Joe Pesci."
Right, awesome. And he comes bounding out on stage like. Doof, 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 doof. He's bigger than Tommy, and Tommy's supposed to be slapping him around.
Yeah,
and
he goes to slap him.
Yeah, they said great. Just the look in the guy playing Tommy's eyes just was like.
Because he had no clue that somebody else
had no clue
out.
That
oh
somebody else
God.
Was coming out. Everybody else in the cast knew, I think, but the guy playing Tommy had no
oh,
idea.
Oh, that's great. Brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it.
You played ensemble roles in the show, you said,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Which other runs have you?
Oh, I've covered, Barry Belson, Joe Pesci, Hank
right.
Majewski, the guy wears the aped mask and
oh, okay.
He has
yeah.
a name.
Yeah. Oh,
forget,
Hank
yeah.
Majewski.
He's
oh,
probably
yeah.
huge in
every,
four
every
seasons.
Every character
of Hank.
That probably doesn't even say a word on stage has a name.
Yep.
That's great.
Norm Waxman. I played him a couple times. Yeah. So
who is Norm Waxman?
Norm's the kind of mob guy who loans the money to.
Oh, gotcha. Okay,
to
yeah,
Tommy.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
in a band also.
Yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
we yeah, we so funny because we are friends with Joe Barbara.
Yeah, right.
And who and we just loved to death. And I'd actually never seen him in the show. I knew him from other
he's
from
great
other things.
Yeah,
and so it kind of became excellent. Like instead of where in the world is Matt Lauer or you know where's Waldo? It would be like all of a sudden we'd see oh my God there's Joe
yeah.
and there's Joe oh my he's the priest. He's,
yeah.
I did not catch he's a bowling guy though.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, you
that,
know he's got the hat on
it.
And everything.
But it's so amazing and how when you think about there's only three females playing all
mm-hmm.
of the female roles. I mean the versatility of your cast is ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it like that in every show?
It is. Yeah.
Like there's that standard that's
yep.
only wow.
Yep.
It's the same across the board through all the companies around the globe.
Wow.
Yeah, with
wow.
the exception mm-hmm. of the Four Seasons, all the other characters in the show, they you know the cast members play a lot of different roles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, let's say that you had never done the role before until you came in here to Vegas, either one of you,
mm-hmm.
and the show had been going on. Now, would you have to go through like Four Seasons camp to like? Just get you just go into the role and just from your rehearsals or do you have to when a new guy comes in do all four guys have to seriously do some working together to get
yeah they absolutely do they work first you know you would work solo with
mm-hmm.
the musical director or the choreographer and all that stuff then they bring the four guys in work those vocals work that choreography so that you guys you know we all look the same on stage and then the last step would be what we call our put-in rehearsal where the new person would be on stage with all the elements, with all the cast, sound, and everything. But the only problem with that is you're the only one wearing a costume. Everyone's in their street clothes, so you feel kind of stupid. But and after that, you're good to go.
Wow.
It's a quick process, but, you know, it's kind of like what I was joking earlier. We're professionals at it, and that's you know, the standard for it. So
right.
Yeah.
I got to do this. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. This is John Katsalamidis with Tricia McCrone, our guest at the moment are Travis Clore and Graham Fenton of Jersey Boys at the Palazzo. They toggle the role of Frankie Valli. I want to ask a little bit about how you guys find a creative fulfillment outside the scope of the show. Graham, I saw you out at the Composer Showcase out at Garfield's.
Yeah,
recently.
Yeah, it was nice to get out there. And when
good
I
deal.
Was, oh, yeah.
It was really fun.
When I was out here before, when I opened the show, I'd go every time. It's really nice.
And Travis, I've seen you perform in it.
Yeah,
before.
Yeah,
a couple times.
Do a little writing myself.
Yeah,
at Liberace. I've been out there for a little while. I need to get back out.
Yeah,
there,
yeah. And I'm just asking about how that works when you're performing, you know, a role that is so readily identifiable with you guys in a very scripted atmosphere to go off the reservation and do your own thing. First, Travis, you know, how does that work for you? We've talked to Rick Fanio in here not long ago, and he talked about how after the 5-year period, he felt like he had to do something else with his ability.
Yeah, I mean, definitely creatively, you know, you feel that urge to spread your wings and do some other things. First and foremost, though, as long as we're employed by the show, this is our number one priority, of course. You know, so we've got to put it first, right up front.
Yeah.
But there is a little bit of time for us to spread our wings creatively and do other things. I'm going to be singing a Christmas concert with Kristen Herzenberg with the Philharmonic.
Wow.
Here this,
oh,
this,
boy.
In, next
from
month.
Phantom.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be really cool. And old pal Eric Bergen and I are working on a show that we're going to be hopefully putting on at one of the showrooms here next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, early next year.
A production
hopefully
show
over
there.
Our little hiatus. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he was another one who did a lot of
exactly,
that.
Exactly,
kind of,
yeah.
He was probably the best example of somebody
who
did that.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally. And
does that get frowned upon at all?
As like I said, as long as it doesn't interfere with our duties at Jersey Boys, you know, they're totally cool with it.
And but now, would you be allowed to go out and do that and sing some of the songs from the
Absolutely
show?
Not. That's actually in our contract that we're not allowed to sing any of the songs in the show outside of the show.
Wow.
Yeah. Fair bulletin. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So like right now, if I would ask you to break into something, that would be illegal.
It would, and we'd have to sign a contract, and you'd have to pay us a lot of money.
So. We can do that.
Instead, I'll sing. My
no,
I'm kidding.
Graham, you said.
We'll edit that out.
Are you planning on doing anything, any individual solo one-man show?
Nothing as of yet. Particularly because the hiatus is coming up so soon that's not something where I've been itching to get out and do something else right now. But that is one of the reasons why I left the tour a couple years ago now, is because you get to a point when you want to go and try out some different roles and do some different things. And there aren't many other jobs in the world that I can think of where you do literally the same exact thing every single night. And
right.
So I think it's important for people, like Travis with writing and doing his concerts, to like get out and do something a little different so you can keep what you're doing on stage fresh.
Is that the key? Is that the key, Travis? I mean, how do you not get stale creatively when you're doing the same thing night after night?
You do have to find those outlets to expand your creativity. One of the great things, though, about this show is that I always told myself I would stop doing it when I stopped enjoying doing it. And every time I'm out there, no matter what's going on in my life, once I get to sing these great songs, some of the best music that's ever been written in popular American music history, everything that I have to sacrifice, whether it's, going home instead of going out for a drink with the guys, or making sure that I'm getting my proper sleep, or not being able to eat this particular type of food because I know what it'll do to my throat. As soon as I step on stage and I get to sing this music and see the response from the crowd, it makes all that stuff worth it.
Or not talking for 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
While you recover from a
vocal
injury.
It's one of the things I miss the most.
It makes it worthwhile.
Is how I have to alter my diet when I'm doing the show.
Yeah.
Really?
I really want to eat that.
What do you crave? What can't you eat?
I stay away from dairy. That's pretty much universal with singers, I think. causes a lot of mucus production and phlegm that you don't want to have there. And I actually
I'm anti-phlegm.
Anti-phlegm. Who isn't? I mean, come on.
Put me down for that.
My wife and I have just gone gluten-free, too, and it's amazing what that's done.
I have a little bit of a gluten allergy, and so I stay away from anything with gluten.
Wow, no wonder you guys are so fit.
Yeah.
Well, plus you're working a lot at night. But the caffeine, what about caffeine? Is caffeine a killer?
I try to stay away from it, too, yeah. Yeah, it dries you out, and especially in a dry climate like this.
It's tough, too, dude, because I'm a huge soda drinker, And once this whole thing happened with my vocal injury, you know, I haven't touched soda since. I'm now drinking decaf coffee. I don't eat chocolate anymore. I'm doing every
they said that could get you acid in the throat. And
every possible thing I can.
I'm just thinking about the days of the Rat Pack with Sinatra with the.
I have no idea how they did it.
Bourbon,
I have no idea.
Smoking on stage.
Eating whatever they wanted.
Actually, I do know how they did. They didn't have to sing as high as we have to sing.
Exactly.
That
kind of gruff sound in their voice was like.
They didn't have to sing 20 plus songs every single night at the absolute top of their range. So.
Right.
Well, I'm curious because I so adore this show. I love this show. I think it's just a brilliant show. And what is each of your favorite part to do in the show? Favorite song, favorite part of the show? What?
A couple favorite parts. I love the big three. That's Sherry, Big Girls Don't Cry, and Walk Like a Man. They come in quick succession in the show, and the audience is itching for it at that point. Can't Take My Eyes Off of You is always great fun, too. But those are kind of obvious. I have this one odd moment that I love in the show, the song Opus 17, Don't You Worry About Me. It's, for some reason, one of my favorite season songs, even though it – who is it, Beethoven? The intro lick is
by.
Just kind of flies by, but for some reason, I really like that moment where it's like, you know, Frankie's really in the midst of like a lot of personal struggles, so it's fun actory stuff to do. Yeah,
I love new word actory. Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Travis?
Those are definitely highlights. You know, it's a couple nights ago we had in the front row there was these two couples. They were, you know, maybe in their 60s, late 60s. And, man, every time one of those hits came up, they would reach over and snuggle up. And when I started singing Can't Take My Eyes Off You, both of them just put their arms around each other and just were singing along with it. And that happens more times than not. And it's such a cool thing to see, man.
Oh, can't you just do any? I was sitting next to you. I didn't get any affection.
I cried all the way through the show.
So what's the hardest song to sing in the show?
There's a couple hard spots. There's Frankie's songs, all his vocals are so high, and they're in such there's in one part of my range at least that it just doesn't give you any break because it just stays there the whole time in this top part. So singing Can't Take My Eyes Off You and then going right into Working My Way Back to You is it's tough, but when you nail it, it's so rewarding because you know that it is a challenge.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's tough, but it's a lot of fun too.
Yeah, that has to be the toughest spot for me too. I think those songs back to back are they're killer.
Yeah.
And that's right at the end of the show. That's right. So you've been going.
Yes, we've been singing our faces off.
Yeah, you guys don't stop the whole show, and then all of a sudden, then you have to, you know, towards the end of the whole thing, you have to like challenge yourself the most.
And the dialogue's tiring too. I mean, that's one thing that
a
lot of people overlook. Yeah, yep. You're physically tired, vocally tired.
You make me emotionally tired. Just tired. Watching you. Wow. I'm spent at the end. Speaking of which, we have to go dark ourselves, gentlemen.
No!
I'm telling you, Dish, it has to end.
I'm obsessed with Jersey Boys. I can't believe
we'll
I have two Frankies like in my presence.
We'll go back.
I want to go to Frankie Camp.
I want to go to Frankie Camp also.
You don't really fit the look, but we'll see what we can do.
The Frankies can fight over you.
Like, oh, my God.
The Frankie gang can do.
I would love that.
Like West Side Story.
It'll be like the Frankie Jets Wonderful. And the Jets Sharks and the Frankies. I could be a cheerleader or something. I don't know.
We'll work it out.
Somehow I got to be involved.
All right, I want to thank you both for coming down. Travis Clore and Graham Fenton of Jersey Boys at the Palazzo through January 1st, nightly Dark Monday, two shows Tuesday and Saturdays, and we'll see you when we do this again. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Las Vegas!
Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the founder of Kiss by Monster Mini Golf. Around mid-February, this themed attraction opens on the street on Harmon, across the street from Hard Rock Hotel next to Rumor Hotel. It's a miniature golf gift shop and other themed attractions all based on Kiss, the rock band. Welcome to Cats with the Dish, Christina Vitaliano.
Wow, so you're Russian, right?
Who's Italian?
Absolutely Russian. Russian-Polish.
There you go.
Yes.
What an Italian name that is.
She makes a mean Brussels sprout salad.
Wow.
Well, welcome. Thanks for coming in and being with us.
No, you're very welcome.
Christina, I'll just ask, first of all, you founded this business. And was has it always been themed on a single act, a band? How did it all start?
No, this is actually our first co-brand with a band.
Okay.
It all started, my husband says I'm just crazy. That's how it started. Mm. But I was looking
I've met your husband. He's a little office rocker as well. I'm sorry.
He's very office rocker.
Saying about, saying about glass houses there.
Yeah.
There you go.
I agree. I was looking for something that was fun and profitable, and somehow mini golf came into my head on a drive home from New York City one night, and I just looked at him and said, I think I want to do indoor mini golf. And really, that's as simple as it started.
Had you played a lot of mini golf as a kid or been around a lot of that environment?
I thought I was looking for a simple business opposite what I had, what I was doing.
What were you doing?
My background's in restaurant and nightclub management, but I had owned, previously to that, I had owned an antique auction house. So we used to travel all over the world collecting antiques from Europe and bringing them back here. Inventory, labor, and it was intense.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And that, does that at all, those skills at all carry over to what you're doing now? The collecting and assembling? And
a little bit. Our birthday party rooms are very unusual. They don't look like your average kind of family party rooms. They're all, they look like haunted mansions.
Yeah.
So, I took some of my antiques and some of, I think the little bit of girl decorating in me and whipped up the weirdest looking party room ever. So, yeah.
Fun. So now, I guess I'm kind of trying to figure out. So now you come to Las Vegas where you have been in restaurants and nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
The normal fit would kind of be the fact that we've got quite a few restaurants and nightclubs here
you
in Las
do.
Vegas. And yet, does not interest you at all. It's all about the mini golf.
Yeah. Two things. One, when you've worked in the restaurant nightclub business, you come to a point in life where you never want to see a drunk person at 2 a.m. ever again. Of course, here I am in Las Vegas.
I was just about to say, I have a feeling there's going to be quite a few inebriated mini golfers.
But I'm not responsible for them anymore. I like that.
Oh, you don't have to. You don't have to.
I can be one of the drunk people if I like it. I'm not, you know,
part
I'm
of
on the other side.
Of the,
yeah.
Of the party.
Exactly. And I don't know, I just wanted to be an all ages kind of fun family and affordable entertainment. And I looked around at all the other indoor glow in the dark mini golf monster themed kissed establishments in Vegas, and you didn't have a lot.
Wow.
So there, I think, you know,
it does seem to be lacking. When you put it down that way and list it, we don't have any of that.
No, you've got the cornerstone on that market, I think.
I think we do.
So now, are you a huge Kiss fan? How did Kiss come into play?
My husband's a Kiss fan. I'm a business marketing kind of nut. So
like,
I'm a Gene Simmons fan.
I'm more of an
fan.
Air Supply fan.
I am. I'm kind of like a...
Air Supply by Monster Mini Golf.
I'm a little bit country. He's a little bit rock and roll.
love it.
But I'm a Gene Simmons marketing fan. And I'm a marketing... I just like to see anybody who can brand something. I thought he had always done well with Kiss. Kiss is definitely a branded band.
Yes.
And it just seemed like we were looking for something that was edgy and different. But when you go into wanting to co-brand with a rock and roll band, we're a clean family entertainment business. We don't serve alcohol. So there are plenty of bands out there that you can co-brand with, but you don't want to lose your own brand reputation. So I give Gene and Paul a lot of credit. They are full-on rock and rollers, but Gene is, you know, has never smoked, drank. Paul, they're businessmen too. So that was one of the main reasons. The other reason, and it's been an ongoing joke since we built the first Monster Mini Golf, I had created this giant 12-foot clown that the last hole on every Monster Mini Golf course is called Glozo the Clown. It was a clown that I made with my own hands way back when, and now is a giant mole that we make. And we golf into the clown's head.
Uh-huh.
It goes right up his tongue. So you can see where this is going.
Yes. Yeah.
And my husband is a Kiss fan,
oh,
so we used to joke. Yeah.
Sorry, I had to rim shot there myself.
That's okay. And we would joke all the time, and everybody say, "Someday you're going to build a Kiss monster theme." And I'm like, "Yeah." And as we grew and got bigger, I got to the point where maybe a couple of years ago, maybe three, we'd be at the end of a business meeting, and people would say, "Hey, you have any questions?" And I would just ask, "Yeah, you have Gene Simmons' phone number?" And one day somebody said, "Why do you keep asking that?" And mm-hmm. they said, "Well, oddly enough, I do have the people that you would need to get in touch with for what you want to do." And so I called them.
So no, how? So I was just about to say. So now do you have to go through a lot of people to get to Gene Simmons? Was it fairly easy?
It was like getting into the Wizard of Oz. I'm pretty sure he is the Wizard of Oz.
Pull back the curtain. There he is.
The man is Oz. No, it is, but I think, and not because particularly of who they are, but when you take somebody like us who's a branded business and you take somebody like them who's legendary, and then you try to form a business together, it's extensive, and the paperwork, and then coming up with something that works for both ends. There's a lot of attorneys,
yeah.
You know, a lot of contracts, a lot of red tape, but all good. It was very, very educational. And once it was signed, now it's all, well, now let's go find a place in Vegas. You know?
Yeah. As far as what you're putting out as a business, what kind of requests did they make that maybe caught you unexpectedly or were the biggest challenge? I imagine that Gene Simmons especially has an idea about how he wants his brand to look in this environment. What did
well,
he ask
the
you
for? Tongue's being
the
tongue, taken care
the,
of.
The tongue's
you know,
a given.
You know what's weird? I give them a lot of credit. They've been wonderful. But when we went to present our sketches, and we're all art. Based. Everything we do is original art, original sculpts. So every Monster Mini Golf is custom designed based on the territory where we're building it. So even though it's like walking into a Hard Rock Cafe, you know you've walked into one, but they're all different.
Mm-hmm.
So when we sat down with Paul and Gene, we had
which is
all
just
of
a
our,
cool statement to make. When was, we sat down with Paul and Gene.
We were at Gene's house, so it's a little intimidating.
Wow. I mean, that's a really cool thing to be able to say at the beginning of a sentence. Sorry, I
had to
acknowledge that.
Okay.
Go on.
And they're both very different and very cool in different ways. We presented them with sketches of what we thought the props and all the sculpts should look like, and they were wonderful. You know, they've been. I give them a lot of credit, saying this is what we're looking for. That's great, and now let's make sure that everything along the way we just keep in contact with each other, and all of your design ideas come through us, and we work together. But they have not been hard in that respect at all. We're building a 15,000-foot. Kiss Museum is basically what we're building right now. I mean, it just started as something that was going to be indoor. It's all glow in the dark. It's all fluorescent lights. So there's animatronics on the course and everything.
Animatronics? I'm like, okay, it just came from Disney, so now
it's
coming through.
This is a Disney, rock and roll Disney.
Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, they talk about that. I mean, I was just coming from there, that Aerosmith has a roller coaster. And I was thinking the entire time while I was just there that at the Disney theme parks that in Orlando that I was like, wow, what a great marketing thing that Aerosmith is so branded
smart.
Everywhere on something that, I mean, the entire world goes through. It kind of reminds me of that same sort of thing with mm-hmm. Kiss, that it's like, yes, it's amazing that you guys have the cruise, but also for them, it's an amazing opportunity
Absolutely.
As well for their branding and for how many people come through Las Vegas and the amount of extra exposure that they're getting through their attachment with you.
And that's where I give them a lot of credit. And everybody, you know, jokes about, you know, they'll sell anything and their egos. But they're also very, very smart because when we went through this and we were negotiating back and forth, they understood the value in us. And we obviously understand the value in KISS. But we got it both ways, you know. And they said, you're bringing us the next generation of KISS fans, your family entertainment. And KISS is bringing us 30 plus years of just amazing, you know, reputation and branding. And it works. Sometimes you get together with the right people and it just works. And then Live Nation is in between all of that, you know, kind of
yeah,
being
the
in-between.
Yeah, they're quite the company as well, yeah.
Yeah, so it's we've you know, aside from everything, and opening just as I'm having a blast just working on the establishment in Las Vegas. It's a good experience working with anything on this level. It's been not dull.
Other than the golf, the mm-hmm. glow-in-the-dark golf, which is kind of the core of the idea, what else is going to be
We have
there?
The 18 holes of mini golf. We've got the largest KISS gift shop I think that KISS has ever seen mm-hmm. opening with some very unique things. We have a KISS gallery, which will feature on like quarterly basis. We'll bring in collections, whether it be vintage KISS posters or a collection from a KISS fan, things like that. There's a private party room for birthday parties, corporate events. There's a KISS kind of, we
my
call it the Rock and Roll
April.
Cafe. Your birthday's in April, so there you go.
So, yeah, so hey, new idea
you can
for
celebrate.
Party,
that's right.
Mine's in March.
Okay, yeah, Trump's
all right, so you're coming
continue.
Up. A Rock and Roll All Night Cafe. So it's kind of like, it's, you know, coffee house and snacks. A VIP room for VIPs in the high-end world, and it'll be just off the charts, very unique and private. And then there is the hotter-than-hell KISS Wedding Chapel. I'm so excited about that.
The album of the same name.
So who is going to marry these people?
I can't tell you that yet, but I will say the band is going to be at the grand opening day, so the whole crew will be there.
How far are they going to be? The entire band's going to be there.
The entire band will be there, and they will be at the. They will be part of the KISS wedding. The first KISS wedding will include the band.
Is that
this
booked?
Could be our time.
Is that booked?
The date isn't booked because we don't know our opening date.
The Who is booked?
The Who is booked.
I was going to say Cats and I might just get married. Not just to get married by with Gene Simmons.
I don't mean the band Who. I mean the couple.
Cats, no. This could be a great media thing for us. We can get an old the next
You could.
Day.
I know.
We will be, unless we consummate
55
that
55 minutes.
We're going to be
so
releasing.
So about the consummation at this point.
Exactly.
Since we are sexually active. I'm kidding.
I got to do this. You're listening, unfortunately for you, you're listening to Cats with the Dish, John Katsalamidis with Trisha McCrone and Christina Vitaliano, the founder of KISS, by Monster Mini Golf, soon to be built into Las Vegas. The best way to describe it is across from the Hard Rock Hotel, next to Rumor, in what is called Harmon Square.
I have something to say here. I don't even believe that you know this about me, Katz, but I am quite the
We'll edit this out.
Are you really?
Aficionado.
Really? You play?
Because of the fact that growing up in the suburb of Cleveland, Ohio, my family owned a driving range, dairy bar. It wasn't my family's main business. My father was a judge before he passed away, but he was an avid golfer and built this business that basically I dated golfers all through high school and college because it was the largest undeveloped property in the west side of Cleveland, and it was a driving range, a miniature golf, and a dairy bar. So I made a lot of my first money when I first got my job. Jobs, I would intern in TV and stuff like that, but I worked the mini golf. And so we would have tournaments and stuff like that.
Really?
And I would win all the time because obviously I worked there. So I knew
I think
of
we
the
should
home.
Do a Trish challenge.
There should be some wagering.
There should be some side wagers.
You know, make this interesting. It's been a while. I may have to, you know, you need to brush up the skills. But, you know, I am so excited about
maybe have to dust off the putter, as they say.
I will. And I did have my own. I didn't use the one supplied. So.
Yeah. You should challenge Gene.
Grip. Oh, well, wouldn't I don't know. Cool? I get nervous
Is he any
about
good?
That.
I have no idea.
You have no idea.
Not even a clue.
Tell me, Christine, why this is, it's important that there's, it's family friendly, as you mentioned earlier. No alcohol, sir.
No alcohol.
I find this interesting because when I looked at this idea initially, one of the ideas I thought of was there's going to be a big bachelor party destination and, you know.
Can you BYOB?
Yeah. Is there a way to party in this establishment and not frighten the children?
The VIP rooms, you can bring in your own catered event there. So if it's catered and you're bringing in a bartender and a licensed bartender, yes, you can. We also can do a buyout, too. If somebody wants to come in and says, I want to buy out your place on a Tuesday night, then it's your own facility. It's a rental facility.
Lease the whole place, the course and everything?
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. Weddings will be able to bring in their own catered events as well. But I will say that right now, when we open, we do not have alcohol.
So let's just say if I accidentally found...
That might be a plan.
Okay.
So let's just say that I was mini golfing and all of a sudden, oops, I found the flask of vodka that I had kept in my purse from... You know, years ago,
usually.
Whatever.
Blah, 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 blah. I can't hear you.
Okay,
it's a KISS licensed flask. Yeah. Is that all right?
Cannot hear you. Yeah, there we go.
Will you be selling flasks in the gift shop?
We will be flask free.
Somewhere there's a KISS flask out there. I know that there has to be.
Now, you guys are very big in promotion, and we have to acknowledge the fact that we actually met through a dear friend of both of ours, Brian Thomas, who is known as a spokesperson around town. Various things with the Harris Corporation.
And O'Shea's Leprechaun.
O'Shea's Leprechaun. He was Baby Carlos for the Hangover Games and stuff like that. He's been involved in some of your early promotions for the thing as a mini Gene Simmons.
He's lowercase g.
Is that right? Oh, my God.
That's how he's in my phone, lowercase g. Brian, if you're listening, you know that anyway. I'm sorry.
No, he is under Brian Thomas, but it's so funny. Almost everybody in town, all we do is say Little Brian. Yeah. And you know exactly who we're talking about. He's just Little Brian.
Little B.
Like, one of the greatest guys in the world. What made you get involved with Brian? Little G, as it were.
Yeah, Little G. His PR company contacted our PR company, who's Preferred Public Relations, and they contacted Jennifer Bradley, and Jennifer said, all right, I'm going to be perfectly honest here, and anybody who knows me knows that I like little people.
Me too.
They make me happy, they make me smile, so I just like little people. So, and I want to challenge Chelsea Lately. Yeah. So me and Little G.
Oh,
we're gonna get her. Yeah,
Chewy Schmooey.
Yeah, I think lowercase G.
You can dress him as Little Paul Stanley.
I prefer Little G. I think he's better.
Yeah, yeah,
so
no,
hear that, Chelsea?
And a great guy. He is just a great guy.
What kind
of promotions do you have that are besides the wedding and stuff like that?
Right now, prior to us opening, we have a couple of big promotions coming out. I know that the KISS boots We have a set of destroyer kiss boots that are traveling at the edge on. You've been in them.
I wore them on TV on the Moore Show on Fox 5, and I was warned about these, and it almost happened anyway. I almost tipped over a couple times, almost toppled, because they are very difficult to walk in.
Well, pay
and
attention
in.
To our Twitter at Cats with the Dish, and you will see photos of us in the boots.
Yes.
Yeah. They've been traveling all over Vegas with celebrities.
Yeah, everybody's been in them. Yeah.
But all of the photos that are being taken with celebrities or anybody prominent in Las Vegas, they will be printed and framed, and then we're going to auction them off, and all the proceeds are going to the Wounded Warriors. So the first putt of our night, when we open that night, a Wounded Warrior will actually do the first putt.
We just spent a Veterans Day with the Wounded Warriors that came into town with Wayne Newton.
They flew in.
So we greeted
That's
them
one of my
tarmac.
Goals. Get Wayne Newton in kiss boots.
We're not that far away.
I think we know somebody who might be able to make that happen. But although he is very tall already. So now you mentioned something to me that you wanted me to get involved in.
I
need to find out a little bit of information about this.
Well, along with everything else we have that's going on, and because we have a KISS wedding chapel, it made sense that when we did all of this originally to also design a KISS wedding dress, because once in a while the girl does come out in me. But I'm very tomboy, but I'm like, come on, we're going to have a wedding chapel. We need a wedding dress. So one of our artists, we sat down and I said, Beck, we need a wedding dress. And then my fear was, Jean is never going to approve a wedding dress because he's so anti-wedding. This is how long ago this project has started.
Wow.
That's
so. So when he approved it, not only did he approve it, but it came back with, this is great, love this, call it Lady Demon, dress belongs to Jean. I'm like, okay. Uh-huh. but it is. Honestly, we designed it off of one of his, the Lady Demon outfits. So now the dress is gorgeous. It's going to be made, there's two versions. There's one black leather with studs. Amazing. Ooh. And there's a white leather wedding dress will be coming out, and then there'll be a nice fabric one. So there'll be a very affordable dress, and they will be the $10,000 wedding dress as well that you can buy or rent. What we're looking for, and hopefully that you might host for us, is we are looking for a Las Vegas Lady Demon to be our ambassador. And for that contest, we thought maybe you would be a good host.
I accept. Can I be all like
you can.
Leathered out? Yeah, I can.
Yes.
Oh, cool. I'm in.
Because we want a rocker girl. We do.
We want
a like a voluptuous rocker girl that can wear a nice
awesome.
Wedding dress.
Yeah, it would be great.
Well,
I'm
accepting on radio right here, so there's no backing down. I'm excited.
Thank
you.
Cool.
I'm honored.
And I think lowercase g could be a co-host.
Absolutely. Just say when, and lowercase awesome. G, aka Little Brian, and I will co-host it. Absolutely.
That'd be fun.
It would be fun. Tell me about the Axe Tour. The bass guitar, the plans for Gene Simmons. It's shaped like an axe.
It is.
His famed guitar.
Yeah, his axe guitar bass actually has its own tour bus.
Yes.
So, I mean.
Which is sensible.
Yeah, of course.
Sensible use of a bus.
Sense. Why would it not? And we're working on this. I actually haven't released this yet, but we're working on the tour bus actually driving from a designated state, which I won't say yet, where it's going to be leaving from, and maybe getting you, John.
It's not Rhode Island, is it?
No, it's not Rhode Island. That's a long way. But maybe getting somebody like yourself, John, to go on the bus with the driver and possibly somebody else, which we're still working on, is whether it's going to be a fan that gets to win it or somebody else, depending on legalities and things like that, to take the ride, maybe a 10, 12-hour ride, and blog and make stops along the way, visiting fans and taking photos and bringing the boots with you and arriving here on opening day. And the tour bus will actually be the limousine for the bride and groom on the first wedding.
He's in.
He's in.
I'm accepting my offer, and I'm accepting for Katz his offer. We're Katz with the Dish is all over Katz.
We're going regional with Katz with the Dish and themed also.
You're going on tour.
That, and from now on, I believe that Katz's laptop should have its own tour bus as well.
Yeah, we'll talk to Gene Simmons about licensing my the top of my laptop
I think your phone should have its own tour bus
with a little bit of signage.
Exactly. So now where how often do you meet with Gene Simmons? I need to know.
We don't meet in person a lot. Most of it's either email, phone, through Live Nation. We're coming up due for a sit down with kind of like regroup. So as you get closer to this, you want their opinions. I mean, they have to be proud of what we're building. So you need the input.
Right. Well, we've got to close it up here.
That's
we're going to close the show. Christina Vitaliano, founder of KISS by Monster Mini Golf. Look for this to open hopefully around mid-February. And we can't wait for it to open, and we can't wait to tour and do all this fun stuff. It's terrific, and it's been great meeting you.
No, thank you very much. Thanks for having me here.
You betcha.